Congressman Mark Pocan joins us in this half hour to talk about issues facing the nation and his priorities in Congress when it returns from its summer break next week. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, August 29th. We will talk with Congressman Pocan about some of the issues in the news, including probable U.S. military intervention in Syria. But we welcome your questions and your views on any issue that matters to you. 1-800-642-1234 is the number to call, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Mark Pocan is a Democratic U.S. representative from Madison. He represents Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Joy.
Thanks for being with us.
Absolutely.
So tell us what you've been up to during your summer break.
You know, it's really kind of the in-district period. If it was a break, it would be really nice.
Yeah, it's not really a break.
No, but we've been going all around the district. But what's nice is I'm back home. When you're not in Washington, I feel like we're just so much more productive actually meeting with people in South Central Wisconsin, getting something done, getting a chance to meet with business owners, and getting a chance to meet with people who have issues that are important to them, helping our constituents. And so I'm just getting around the district. You know, we spent a day in Sauk County the other day. We're getting down to Rock County. We're getting down to all the different parts of the district, meeting with people and finding out what's really important as opposed to what I think we get often debate about in the bubble of Washington, D.C.
So what's first on the agenda as far as you're concerned when you return? Is it Friday that Congress reconvenes?
Actually, we go back on September 9th. And I think, you know, really it hasn't changed from what the priorities were in January. Let's get the economy going the best we very best we can, and let's help create jobs. That's what real people talk about. And I think a lot of what we talk about in Washington, whether it be the 40 times now we voted to repeal the Affordable Care Act or some of the other debates we have, are just simply not debates that real people have. And I think we need to get back to the focus of what's best for people in Wisconsin and across the country.
Well, we'll talk about a number of issues, I hope, during this 20 minutes that we have with you. But I wanted to ask you, first off, your thoughts on the news that there could be a U.S. missile strike on Syria that could be launched as early as this weekend. In the news, President Obama has not made a decision yet. But I wonder whether you think this is a conflict that the United States should be getting involved in.
Well, you know, I think there's a lot of bipartisan support growing for the position that we should follow the law. The law between the Constitution and the War Powers Act of 1973 says that you have to go to Congress for authorization if you're going to do something. There are certain situations where the president can act, but this is not a situation that would follow the law. So I think before we decide to intervene in another civil war or another country without a direct attack on the United States or something else that would go around the law, you have to bring Congress in to have a full debate before we put American lives at risk. So I've signed a letter to that effect that I think is being released. I hope today we're definitely talking to the president and the White House about it in that way. I just would hate to see us kind of unilaterally take an action without really having the international community behind us, and once again, perhaps embroiling us in the Middle East.
Yeah, but what about the humanitarian crisis that has occurred, is occurring in Syria?
Yeah, the use of chemical weapons is absolutely reprehensible, and those responsible have to pay for those actions. But again, for us to go unilaterally after the UN still hasn't finished their investigation, while even as members of Congress, we don't have the information. All we have is right now the White House saying it was the Syrian government, but with nothing yet presented to us, which is why we have to have that proper debate. It just seems a bit premature, but at the same time, when we are able to, we will make sure that whoever is responsible is fully held responsible and do everything we can to make sure that that doesn't happen again in the country. But for us to get involved in a civil war in Syria right now, after Iraq, after Afghanistan, I really don't think the American public is ready and has the appetite for this.
Yeah, so are you hopeful that President Obama will go to Congress for a thumbs up or thumbs down regarding military action against Syria?
Absolutely. That's our request. Follow the law, just as much as we would want anyone else to follow the law. Congress needs to be a part of this. That's what the Constitution and the War Powers Act prescribes. That's the route the president should take.
Yeah, so what's your biggest hope or fear with regard to Syria?
Well, you know, it's a complicated process. I just got back from the Middle East early August. I was at the border of Israel and Syria. For us to try to decide who some of the players are, I mean, there are so many different opposition groups that aren't working in concert. I mean, this is a civil war that we would be putting ourselves in. Now, if the Assad government or anyone else is using chemical weapons, we need to work with the international community to work on that response. But to embroil us in yet another situation in a very tough region, I just think it's a little more complicated than us using our military might without really the thought of what the international community and the region can do in response. So it's a much more complicated situation, and I think all too often the simple response is to have the U.S. act.
You mentioned a little earlier about the multiple times that the Republican-controlled House has voted to repeal Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act. A new poll out from the Kaiser Family Foundation says 57% of Americans are opposed to a Tea Party plan to defund the Affordable Care Act. And you mentioned you're frustrated by it. How do you think the implementation of Obamacare is going to play out?
You know, I'll tell you what, people should be ready. It'll probably be a bit of a rocky road for the implementation, just like Medicare and any other major plan that we've done in this country when it comes to health care. But the fundamentals of the law, the fact that now if you have a pre-existing condition, you can get access to health insurance, the fact that you no longer have a lifetime cap on your needs, your health care needs, that's removed, the fact that your adult children can stay on your policy until they're 26, the fact that you now have funds for preventive care. I mean, all of those proposals that people support are in place in the law no matter what. I think where the implementation speed bumps perhaps may happen is just as we're actually rolling out the law, especially when you have governors, quite honestly, like Scott Walker, who kind of refuse to participate. And the states where they are forming the exchanges, so far I think it's, and this is just, I'm trying to read off the top of my head, but something like 12 of 15 or 13 of 15 are already showing some cost reductions. So I think, you know, we're seeing a lot of good things happen, but I absolutely expect that we will have some speed bumps just as they delayed the implementation for small businesses for 1 year. So let's just make sure that we keep those strong fundamentals in place and not get lost on the details, because we can improve the law along the way, and that's exactly what we should do. But those hardcore fundamentals that make sure that every American has access to health care are the solid bedrock fundamental principles that we put the law in place for.
Let's take a call from Tom in Rockford first. Hello, Tom.
Good morning. It's great to talk to a congressman. Good morning, Congressman. I was a little disappointed at first because when the lady asked you what is on the top of your agenda, you mentioned the Affordable Care Act, which I think should be way, way down from the possibility of going to war against Iran, Syria, Russia, and possibly China. You know, I'm retired Navy, and I don't think you should ever open Pandora's box of war when there's an out. And to suggest or think that we can stand off and launch Tomahawk missiles from the Med without the Iranian submarines tailing us with a madman named whatever his name is over there in Iran, we might be sucking up some torpedoes after we launch on Syria. And I just don't feel that there's enough military experience in Congress to even be thinking about these things. And I think that the courtiers that are called admirals and generals now have their nose so far up wherever that they're not willing to speak out and say, please, Mr. President, don't do this. This is gonna kick over a hornet's nest.
Yeah, thanks, Tom, the lady says. Congressman Pocan?
I agree. We have to have a full debate on this, and the region is far more complicated than a simple response made in a couple days, and that's correct. However, I do want to correct Tom. I think I've been very explicit everywhere I go. The number one priority should be working on jobs and the economy, and that's what we need to do in this country.
Our guest is Mark Pocan, Democratic U.S. Representative from Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District. And we welcome your questions for him. What issues matter to you? What issues coming before Congress would you like to talk about? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. What do you think should be Congress's top priority? What concerns do you have about the U.S. possibly intervening militarily in Syria? How about immigration reform? That's on tap. We'll talk a little bit more about that as well. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with Mark Pocan, Democratic U.S. Representative from Madison. He represents Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District. We're talking about issues facing the nation and welcoming your questions for him. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. By the way, our ongoing series of forums with our congressional delegation will continue after 7:30. We will welcome in Republican U.S. Representative Tom Petri after 7:30. Well, let's go back to the phones. We have Dave in Mount Horeb with us next. Hi, Dave.
Good morning. Tomorrow we're going to take my daughter off to college, and I recall back when I went to college, it cost me 7 weeks of full-time employment at minimum wage to pay the tuition. So when we start talking about raising the minimum wage to do the equivalent work, full-time work today to pay for tuition, we have to raise the minimum wage to $42 an hour. That's what the inflation has caused. Part two, when we're going to be bombing Iraq, all those Christians who are talking, and I count myself as one, we turn the other cheek. We don't bomb people back to the Stone Age. Martin Luther King wrote in his diary, wrote about the evening that he was bombed during the Birmingham bus boycott. And that night he went to bed and said, I can't hate my people because then I become the other person.
Yeah, Dave,
thank you. I'll listen offline.
Well, all right. What's your response to that, Congressman Pocan?
I'm not quite sure on the first question. I think if it was addressing college affordability, and I know we just went through the problems with student loans, we think we need to do more. One of the bills that we're going to be putting forward when I get back is a bill to allow for refinancing of student loans. Currently, that's not possible in many cases. We had the debate about the doubling of interest rates. We need to do more. It's an area that's now the second largest debt and in the country is student loans. And that has to be addressed. And then the second part of the question, I think, again, was addressing what I agree. We need to have a full debate before we go into Syria. I hear it as I'm going around the district every single day.
Yeah. And even though it wasn't necessarily a question, do we raise the federal minimum wage?
I've been an advocate for doing that. I think the growing gap in income is causing one of the big problems we're potentially going to have in this country. I do believe a rising tide lifts all boats, and when you put money into the hands of people who most need it, they're going to spend it in the economy, and that spurs the economy. And I definitely think we need to do a raise minimum wage. The president's proposed it. I think the Democrats have proposed it in Congress. And I think you're finding people across the country starting to come out and speak out who work at these minimum wage jobs about the need to have a wage that they can actually live in society. So I think there's a big discussion we can have on that. However, I think the public that I hear from when I go around the district see that as an important issue.
Jay in Madison. Hi, Jay.
Hi, good morning. Hey, yeah, my comment was on the minimum wage. I feel that raising it up to $15 an hour is actually going to harm the people that it claims to help. It really going to ace out the younger generation at getting entry-level positions, because people are going to want to hire somebody with experience for that amount of money.
Jay, thanks very much. There is a strike of fast food workers taking place today. We talked about it on the show yesterday in like 50 cities around the country, including Milwaukee, calling for $15 an hour or a living wage for people who work in fast food and retail.
Yeah, I think the myths sometimes that are out there when you talk about the minimum wage, one of those was just said, that it's about the young folks who enter the job market. We're talking about real people who this is their job. This is what they support their family on. And in every time we have increased the minimum wage in Wisconsin, I remember this from being in the legislature for 14 years, we've had studies that you increase more people get into the job market because of the increase in the wage. There are only benefits to the economy by raising the minimum wage. And this is talking about real people who are trying to survive and support their families, not just the myth of this is high school kids and people in college who get paid minimum wage. If that was the only issue, I don't think there'd be the same outcry. But this is people out there who are supporting families, who are taking two or three jobs just to survive, not getting often health care benefits or other benefits, working at minimum wage. And that's part of why there's such a need and a demand to raise the minimum wage and why we must do that.
Don in Trempealeau is with us now. Hi, Don.
Good morning, Joy. Yeah, I was just curious. The congressman talked that his number one priority was jobs and the economy, and then talked about the Affordable Care Act. And, you know, three of the leaders of the largest unions in the country publicly wrote a letter to President Obama that said ACA will be the demise of the 40-hour work week. How do those two go together?
Did you catch that, Congressman Polkan?
Yeah, I did. However, I didn't immediately talk about the Affordable Care Act. I answered a question about it. If what we need to do about jobs and the economy, and I'm going to be real clear so everyone will understand, is to make sure that we're actually doing things that help create jobs in the United States. That means you don't have bad trade deals that send manufacturing and other jobs overseas. That means we invest in things like research and development that right now are actually getting cuts because of the sequester. That means getting rid of the sequester in its entirety because of the negative impact and the millions of jobs we're losing because of that. Well, the problem is that the majority in Congress, instead of taking up a single jobs bill in the 8 months I've been in office, has instead had us vote now for the 38th, 39th, and 40th times just in the last couple months to repeal the Affordable Care Act. So what I'm talking about is the misplaced priorities that instead of dealing with what the 12 million unemployed and millions more underemployed people in this country are facing, we're dealing with issues that I think have already been decided. You're not going to overturn the Affordable Care Act. Instead, let's make sure that we implement it and improve it along the way. So, again, the priority of the country should be jobs in the economy. The problem is, under Speaker Boehner and the Republican majority in my House, unfortunately, we're not having that debate. We haven't passed a budget for the fourth year in a row, and we haven't done anything to proactively address the economy and the need for creating jobs. And I think that really is what people, when I go around the district in every single county, that comes up as the priority.
Yeah, I think, though, Don was saying that the Affordable Care Act will be the demise of the 40-hour work week, according to some unions, and that it's not going to be good for jobs or the economy.
There are some folks, again, who have concerns on the implementation and what it may mean for some existing policies, but for anyone to think that offering health care is the demise of the 40-hour work week, that's simply not true.
Yeah. Well, is it comprehensive immigration reform going to happen this session?
I'm hopeful. In fact, of all the issues that Congress has been unable to address, one of the things I'm most hopeful about is immigration reform. And let me tell you my opinion why. The fact that people like Paul Ryan, who has been consistent, completely consistent on this issue, and talks about the need for it. You know, he's a leader within the Republican Party in Congress. He has been completely consistent on why we need to do that. The fact that that still exists in the House, in a House that, because we're kind of held hostage by a certain number of Tea Party folks that even hold the Speaker hostage within his own party about passing bills, that tells me that there's promise for it. And I think the fact that we had a Gang of Eight, a bipartisan gang that proposed the bill, passed it in a bipartisan way in the Senate, if that can get to the House and somehow get to conference committee and get passed, that gives us a path to get other things done, from a budget to tax reform to the need to really do the jobs that we need to do to improve the economy. So in many ways, that may be the linchpin that creates some movement on a whole range of issues in Congress. And I have to commend Paul Ryan that he has been completely consistent in sometimes a party that is very aggressively against the issue of immigration reform. He has been a leader in that area, and because of him and others in that party who have been a leader, I think the Democrats have been extremely consistent on the need for immigration reform. That gives me hope, and I think we can get that done this Congress.
I know you had some thoughts on the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington. What do you think the state of civil rights is today, not only for African Americans, but all minority groups?
I think there has been obviously tremendous progress in the last 50 years, and you know how inspirational yesterday to watch that speech once again, and then to watch my colleague John Lewis, who gave a speech at that march, and the only living speaker from that march still, and listening to his words 50 years later. However, I do have to admit I'm concerned when I see some of the efforts in states, including Wisconsin, that look at doing things like making it harder to vote, because often some of those measures target specific communities, and then some of those communities are people of color. And when that happens, we really risk democracy in and of itself. What's so important is that every single person has that right to vote. So I know one of the bills that I've put forward with Keith Ellison from Minnesota is a constitutional amendment, a right to vote. Because currently in our Constitution, there is no explicit right to vote. There are certainly amendments that talk about discrimination, preventing discrimination in voting, but there's no explicit right to vote. And because of that, a person has to prove they've been wronged by a law.
I got to jump in, Congressman Pocan. I'm sorry, we're out of time. Thanks very much for being with us. The news is next.